Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Hey, dude.
The 90s called.
With Christine Taylor and David Lasher.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Dude, the 90s Called podcast. I am David.
Hi, David. I'm Christine.
What's happening?
What's happening?
I just wanted to talk about Corey Feldman for 1 second, because I really think he's a great guy. And the way he kept talking about looking forward and not resting on his laurels. And I just want to say that they did tell us that he would wanted to talk about his current projects.
Right.
But I just, you know, I had to start the conversation. We both did, asking him about Stand By Me and Goonies and Lost Boys. And he came back and said, listen, I've done this interview before. I don't want to do this again. And he has every right to say that.
I know. You're basing this on some, we've got a lot of comments. We read our comments on the Instagram page. And it was a lot of negative comments about the fact that he wasn't really open to talking about, you know, his past work, right? And so that's sort of what you're, you know, responding to.
Right. And they told us, please stick to his current work. You know, we are a 90s podcast, so we wanted to look back. But he has every right to say, listen, I'm putting that all that stuff to rest. I'm touring with Limp Bizkit. I'm starring in a movie that Jordan Peele is now getting released. I mean, he had legit, really interesting stories to tell. And
yes.
I feel bad for, you know, if there was, listen, we turned it around. It was a great interview, but there were a few like tense moments I felt like.
Yeah, definitely. I think also for you, because I know how much you love Stand By Me and he really shut you down. And I feel like you were sort of like, it was because we really didn't expect that he was not going to talk about anything. I mean, I think we're very respectful of people who have history and it's not their favorite conversation. We're you know, very sensitive to that. And also, yes, this is a 90s podcast, but we also love talking about what people are currently working on, what they're doing today. And I do think that he very clearly at the beginning said he didn't want to talk about any of that. But then I felt like we sort of unpeeled it a little bit and he did give us some nuggets. I do feel like he talked a little bit. It's just he didn't want to spend the whole interview talking about it. I found him really interesting. He had very complicated childhood growing up in show business, no question. And I think he, you know, just in his defense, what he talked about with his, you know, nonprofit work and what he's done to sort of help children, you know, navigate experiences he had had as well in a safe way. I think he's, you know, he is trying to make changes. He is trying to look forward. And so I think you're right.
Yeah. I wanted to let our listeners know that we
felt okay about it, right? Yeah. We didn't leave that interview feeling yucky. We didn't, if that's how it came off.
He's an interesting guy who's still doing great work. God bless him. And he had every right to say, I want to only look forward. That's how he's living his life. And it was a really interesting interview. So yeah. You want to tell us about today's guest? He's one of your good friends.
Yes. So today's guest, we had, and he's in the waiting room. So his name is Sandy Chaplin. His you know, working actor name is Alexander Chaplin. So if you don't recognize either of those names, you will hear a little bit about some of the jobs that big job. Like he was on the show Spin City in the 90s. He's a dear friend. Our daughters are very, very close. And he is just such a good guy. And he so graciously and so generously filled in very last minute. I gave him no notice because we had a guest who had a family emergency and had to drop out. And we didn't want to not have an episode for you guys this week. So I just was like, let me call. Like, I just knew somebody I knew he was around.
He's going to be great. Yeah.
So
the Spin City.
We need to thank Sandy for coming in and let's bring him in. Sandy.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
This was for our listeners. Okay. Sandy is a dear friend.
Yes.
And we know each other multiple ways. So the first way we met was I guest starred on Spin City, which Sandy was a regular on, which, you know, a fantastic series in the 90s.
Yeah. One of the best.
Right on brand.
Yeah. So you did it 96, right? The first season.
No. It was later. 97?
Oh, okay.
It was 98 because it was around 98 or maybe even 99 because it was right when Ben and I got met and were getting engaged, like around that time.
I do remember you were in the week that the table read, I remember Richard Kind saying congratulations to you.
Right.
Richard,
who we had on a few weeks ago too. So, but Sandy, very graciously, I sent you a text last night. We had a guest who had to cancel because it was a very last minute cancellation and we didn't want to not have an episode this week. And David and I are both like, who can we call that we know will drop everything for us?
That's, I mean, hashtag fact.
Thank you.
Fact.
Saved us.
I texted you. You're like, what time? I'm there. Yeah. We're so honored. I've been wanting you to come on this podcast anyway, because like you're one of the funniest people I know.
Thank you.
Daughters are like besties. Phoebe, Daisy and Sandy's daughter, came on a trip to Iceland with us a couple of summers ago. And we're not
hurt by the fact that she said that was her favorite trip ever.
Without you guys. Yeah,
David, that's how secure as a parent I am. That doesn't threaten me at all, sir.
Yeah, I get it.
My favorite trip ever.
No, we love your family. We're very intertwined through many different friends and social circles and work stuff and people stuff. And so anyway, this is so great because you have such a great story. So but can we first start with, do only friends call you Sandy? Does everybody call you? Because Alexander, do people call you Alexander? Is that still on your credits?
Sometimes I prefer just master, if that sounds, you know, I hear that and I recognize that can sound arrogant, but I mean it in a way of when I'm trying to be inclusive. But when I'm not asking people to call me master, it's Sandy. And then Alexander, when somebody says Alexander, I immediately, that was for me to know, oh, this is a business relationship or something. Like if somebody calls me Alexander,
right,
I know that we haven't held each other, so to speak. and also I was named after a great uncle who I really loved, and Alexander, like that's, I like that name, you know, and I've never called it. I'm called Alex, and I've been called Scott, Alex. Most, this is, I guess, cheesy, but true, is most people my whole life call me Sandman.
Oh, I feel like Sandman. People call Adam Sandler Sandman too.
Oh, yes, so, totally.
Yes, they definitely, yes.
I know the name. But yeah, Sandman. I really did. And Daisy calls me Sam. My wife calls me Sammy. But yeah, Alexander is just my real name that rarely, if ever, called.
Right. But do you use it in your credits?
I do.
You do. So when so in anything, if it you're in a bio or anything.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Got it. I just needed to clear that up. Very important information.
Oh, no, this is, we're talking about big stuff.
This is big stuff.
Yeah.
Now, so I know a lot of your story. David, you don't, but I don't know at all really how you got started. But other than that, I know you went to Juilliard.
Right. Well, no, let's start before that. Stage Door Manor.
Right, exactly. Like,
the,
see?
It's like the band camp, you know, for young performers. I had a lot of friends that went there.
Stage Door and French Woods, right?
Phoebe went to French Woods.
Yeah, exactly. Why didn't she go to Stage Door?
She did not like the Phoebe. The crazy thing is, Phoebe went to French Woods, and one summer, as you know, for anybody who doesn't know, French Woods is a performing arts camp, and Phoebe was, I believe, the only camper that didn't do a play. She did magic, and they did other things. Stage Door was exclusively theater, and French Woods, you know, tennis and horses and magic tricks and
circus.
Circus was huge. Circus. You know, and pottery and
photography.
Photography,
yes.
Roller,
they had everything. Building,
everything. I mean, it was a real camp. It's like a mini campus, actually.
Right.
And Stage Door is, you know, nothing but theater. And she liked it better. She visited Stage Door and she just, that was not for her. But did you have friends that went there?
I had friends that went there. Yeah. I started in theater also, like in.
Where can I ask? Can I ask questions too?
Of course.
where are you from and where are you now? Are you in Los Angeles?
Yes. I'm in Studio City, Los Angeles, and I grew up in Scarsdale, New York, and I started doing theater. Kind of like Troy Bolton in High School Musical. I didn't tell most of my friends. I would just quietly go do a play in the city, or I would go spend a week at one of these camps. I forget, it was Anaconda or something. And that's why I'm interested in, you know, your Stage Door Manor, you know, your theater. I always think it's the greatest way to start is to know if you love it by doing theater.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, all of a sudden you're surrounded by people that make you maybe not feel as much like an alien, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, wait, you rock out to that show tune too?
Christine, yeah.
Do you jog to Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch? Really? Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ Superstar is your most played cast album?
You have to find your corner of the sky too? Oh my God.
I'm finally home.
Right. Yeah, I mean, so what's bigger than that, right? I mean, especially at the ages we're talking about, anywhere from like some are 8 or 9, but 15, 16, like, you know, to meet people that embrace what you know, whereas you say embarrassing, I guess. Were you saying you felt you didn't want your friend, like it was a secret for you or something? You were a little.
I think so.
I think it is.
Guys, it was a little, there was a little bit more of a, I remember in my high school, it was a little bit more of a stigma with guys that it wasn't the cool thing to do. And I remember, you know, we had a director, I went to Catholic school. I think I've told this story, but we had a priest who directed a lot of our plays, and he, to get people in the seats, to our shows, he would get the football team parts, to be the bottle dancers, to do whatever. Yes. And so that was the thing. And that made it cool. And everyone came and everyone wanted to see the athletes.
Right.
But yeah, so you did. So you went to Stage Door, but you were doing.
I was doing like, an evening dinner. It was an evening dinner theater, Elmsford. Do you know about that?
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. I think I did Hansel and Gretel there, dude, and I couldn't dance and almost got fired. But yeah, Elmsford Dinner Theater. There were like serious productions.
Let me tell you something, David. I think you did Hansel and Gretel there too. I'm just saying. I need it so bad if it didn't happen.
I couldn't dance though. That was my Achilles heel.
That was the deal. So I did a lot there. Stage Door Manor, but think place called Chappaqua Drama Group at Horace Greeley.
That's insane. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I did, school play, my story, like the legend is that when I was three, according to my parents, there was a play starring, do you guys know Jim Dale? He was Barnum.
Yeah. Barnum. I had that album.
And apparently I'm told the first play I saw was a play called Scapino. And my mom tells me that was the only time I was awake and not talking. And and that, I just always, and I saw Oliver at like 8. I guess it was always, it's interesting how it starts for all of us, right? Like, I guess we see somebody in something. And I guess, what is the thought? How can I get up there? Is that it? Or like,
definitely.
Right?
Yeah. I was 8 years old and I saw a high school production of Godspell. And I literally was like, that's all I want to do.
Really?
All I want to do is run around and sing those songs.
Dude, I remember the moment too, that I wanted to do it. It was, in Scarsdale, there was a Scarsdale Summer Music Theater and a guy named Joel Molina, Josh's cousin. You know Josh Molina?
I do know Josh.
Yes.
His cousin Joel was my camp counselor and he played George M. Cohan in George M. And he like blew me away because I knew him personally and then watched him in this amazing performance. And I was like, I want to do that.
Oh, wow. You remember? Okay.
I remember the performance that got me like hooked.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad was a piano teacher. He was always playing music and I sang and that was sort of how I quote unquote bonded with my dad. He would play and I would sing and I grew up, my mom, wrote children's books. She had one of the people that my father taught, a student, he was the editor and the publisher for Judy Blume. His name was Richard Jackson.
Wow.
And my mom met him and he said, you write great, come up with great stories. You should write something. So my parents were, inclined to, theater and storytelling. I guess it was always,
Creatives.
But Stage Door was just enormous. Like I said, that's when you realize that you're not alone at the table. And there's not a lot, I guess, that can be more bigger than that when you're a kid to not feel, almost. Yeah, there is something like almost shame or embarrassing about that. I guess that's stigmas, you say there is.
But is it still? I don't know. I mean, feels, I don't know. It feels like.
No, tell me if I'm right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like, how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
So each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Now, everyone sings, like the opposite. I don't remember that. That's what I mean.
With social media and with ways to put yourself out there, all people want to do is perform for the world, right?
Yeah. I wonder if it's still like, oh God, he likes that. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know.
Well, everyone has their own little, they're a star in their own little world of Instagram and TikTok. So everyone's singing, dancing, performing.
It's a weird thing with the social media because now, I'm sorry. Do you guys have questions or no? I was just going to say that people.
You're allowed to talk.
I'm allowed to talk. No, just to say that people want to. It's a really weird thing, like that. People want you to watch them sometimes watching themselves on Instagram.
Right.
Like, so it's like, you're asking, like, for real, like Phoebe, my daughter always teases me about, I'm sort of, let's just say that I am not very good with a lot of things. But on social media, like I'll see things and a lot of it, I'll say, Phoebe, what's happening? Is this person wanting me to watch them watch a video of themselves? Watching themselves on the video, like
it's so meta, right? It's like,
and I have to say, I genuinely, I'm not being coy. I don't get that. I mean, I get if you're performing that you have something you want to express and you want to do it, but you want me to watch you, and you don't have.
Yeah, don't try and understand.
don't try and understand
Gen Z. You'll drive yourself crazy. You're watching themselves. It's like that blows my mind.
Isn't that amazing?
Let's go to Juilliard. How did that happen?
I was 17, and at the time that I went there, they didn't take kids out of high school. It was a grad school, so the odds of it. I think at the time, like I was told Val Kilmer beat me. I think he was 17 when he got.
Oh, wow.
But I auditioned for Juilliard. Yeah, 17, and that. I mean, I probably should have known that maybe that wasn't. necessarily the place for me by the audition, in that when I, do you know the story, Kristen?
I don't think I know this story. I know I'm going to ask you to tell the famous story in our circle of friends, but yes.
So very long story short, and I'm wondering, Dean, you know, not to say name, the head of the school at the time was looking down. I was 17 and he was looking down and very, very self-important. And I did the monologue and he said, well, you know, after seeing that, I know that you're a performer. I don't know that you're an artist.
Oh, that's so harsh.
Yeah. And I said, you know, my mom is waiting for me outside and I think I'm going to tell her that. And I said the name that Jack Spaghetti doesn't think I'm an artist, even though he didn't look up from his fucking pad. Like I was that livid, right?
Oh my God.
And yeah, I was like, brother, you know, I'm paying you to audition and like, you can obviously not, I can be excused from the table, but you
right.
You don't get to make fun of me for auditioning for you. And
you said,
yeah, I said, well, I'm being polite. I went, you get a sense of me.
Yeah. But what was his reaction?
This is what happened. He was mortified and I walk out assuming that was it. And there was a very lovely guy. I don't know if he, I remember Brooks Baldwin and he said, come back here. So-and-so is testing you. And I said, no, I didn't, I'm not here to be tested. You know, I said, you
oh
know,
my God.
I said, you know, no. And he said, please come back and do it again. And I was shaking. I was so upset that his notion of, you can obviously say no, you can cut me off in the middle. You can, there's so many ways to just say it ain't happening, as I assumed it would.
Right. But
basically just say, you know, yeah, I saw it. And I know you're a performer. I don't know you're an artist. I was just so angry. And anyway, so I should have known, oh yeah. So I was shocked that then I did the audition, left, and that my name was on the callback 2 hours later. You wait to see. And when I came to the callback in the room, I saw a lot of the professors in that theater going, yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, that type of.
He's the one who gave him shit.
We fucked with him.
Right. And so from the beginning, and frankly, knowing and being there and knowing what my experience there, I'm surprised they took me. I really am. Because that they did not like anyone that had a different point of view or spoke up. They never did. So, you know, it was one of those things where I was very surprised knowing my experience there that like you took that kid that was gonna every day let you know what he thought of you.
Right. This is not going to be a quiet sit in the corner.
No.
You weren't just going to receive. You would be giving feedback.
Did he end up being a good teacher? Because that seems like he was looking for a kind of student to challenge him, which sounds cool to me.
Well, here's what happened. He was a brilliant Shakespeare teacher. And the truth is, like, I feel, do I say the name? You know, my experience of him was nice would not be the first adjective, but in terms of getting you excited about Shakespeare and his knowledge. And I think he had this amazing story, if memory serves, of being a Holocaust survivor and surviving by putting on Shakespeare plays in camp.
That's
Life is Beautiful.
Right. And so I can't, you know, and especially the older I get, you know, rather than just making a black and white, you're this guy, you know, it's like, that's lazy and not the way things work. My experience of him was that he was not necessarily kind, but boy, did he know Shakespeare and boy, did he get you excited about it when he acted it out. So, you know, I got to give him that, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So my experience, and then Juilliard, was 12 to 14 hours a day.
Well, and also just because we've talked about it on the podcast, because we talk about our kids a lot.
Yeah.
Our daughter, Ella, is graduating in 2 weeks. And so through her entire 4-year process, she would go over to Phoebe's and hang out and literally just unload on Sandy and say, did you have this experience? Did you have this? And you were such a great resource for her to just say, yeah, it was so helpful.
It sounds like Ella was handed some of the stuff I was.
I think they all get handed some of that at some point. Maybe not all of them, I think, you know, but I do. I just felt like because there was it's a tough program. Like you said, 12 to 14 hours a day where people aren't always kind. It's a lot of tough love. If you even want to add the word love.
Yeah.
To the end.
Well, the thing is, I really think that's phony. The notion of we have to tear you down to build you up. That's fake news. No, you don't. You can just try to build me up.
Especially a 17-year-old, these are kids. These are really young kids.
Don't we need a certain thick skin? And that if you don't have that, you know, handling rejection and criticism, you're not right for this, you're not right for that, you may want to find a different profession.
No, but I'm just talking about the day-to-day. I don't mean that in a way where you're placating or being, I just mean it in a way where the notion of we're going to a mean-spirited breaking of habits, you know, stuff that's gratuitous, right? Like when it just gets mean and bullying is all I'm talking about.
Basic training in the army or even like rushing a fraternity.
Yeah, but I guess, and it's just my view, is that if we're talking about theater and putting on plays,
entertainment
and stuff, it never felt authentic to me that was a necessary ingredient. Yeah. It never felt real. It felt like italicized, like, oh, this has to be about you and something that this isn't. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I've heard actors or comedians say they will never criticize another artist.
Oh, I'm not even.
You know what I mean? Like we're on this side. There are critics out there that are going to tear us apart. I'm with you on this side of the creative side.
Well, which brings me to a story that I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that, sir. And one of my favorite stories, and I do have permission to tell this story. By an actress named, you're not going to know her, Viola Davis.
Oh, my goodness.
She was in your group. She was in your class.
She was in my class. And she was in an episode, I believe, of Blue Bloods. You would know her if you saw it. Anyway, we had to do our monologues for the class. And she was the person who did a monologue from The Color Purple right before me.
Oh, boy.
And so like that was our introduction to the class was everybody gets up and does their thing. And
in front of everybody, it's like a get to know you, but imagine the stakes of that? Right. It's like a get to know you, but we're also getting up and performing for these great performers. But okay, go ahead.
And so Viola gets up and does The Color Purple. And then, is Viola, and she does the monologue, and the floor is now a river.
Everyone's weeping.
Everyone's sobbing, and Kleenexes are being thrown at her and us and everything. And then they say, you know, Sandy, you're up. And I was like, yeah, daddy. thank you. But to piggyback off of you saying about the criticizing, one of my favorite moments, there are three at Juilliard, was, are we allowed to curse?
Yes.
There was a play called Mary Stuart, and there still is a play called Mary Stuart. And I'm trying to think of how to tell it. I'll tell you what she said and then what I did. So there's a place at school where they have a list of everybody's schedule where everybody congregates to say what group you're in and what your classes are. I walk and I see Viola and a man named John Gilbert, may he rest in peace, laughing hysterically behind the board. And I came over and I said, what did John say? I just heard John say something. What was so funny? And Viola said, John didn't say anything funny, Sandy. We just saw your motherfucking scene. You are so bad in this play.
Oh, what?
And she clutched her stomach and fell, laughing, couldn't get out. How bad. And doing my accent and demonstrating for me specifically, because she is a dear friend, what I was doing that was so god awful. And I was looking at her like, no. I saw you guys laughing hysterically. Like, you're not laughing at me and how bad I was. And then I realized, like, oh, they're laughing at how bad you were. So, no, I'm not saying that you can't tell somebody that you love that they suck. Like I said, but where it happened was a couple of years before was there was a French farce called Have You Anything to Declare? And it was only about I was in love with Viola, her character, and it was a French farce in physical comedy. And there was a man that I was jealous of that liked her. And the whole play was that every time I said on the train, have you anything to declare? The man couldn't get aroused. Isn't that the funniest play concept you've ever heard? It was just god awful. But I said to Viola, as bad as this play is, I said, I think you're worse. Like, I don't think, I will watch you. She said, why are you watching me rehearse? I said, because I have to watch you every day doing what you're doing. This is not anything that resembles, we need a new word for bad. You are so bad.
Well, the other thing too about Juilliard, just to chime in, is that you don't audition for roles there. No. And so they just cast you. Right. They cast you in what they think is something that will stretch you or something, you know, all of these things. So the reality is a lot of people are put in roles they would never otherwise play ever and be pretty bad.
This was one of them. And the pleasure that what I loved about Viola from day one, I mean, you're with these people 12, 14 hours a day. We lived at the Y together. There was a group of four of us that were very tight. Cedric Harris, Viola, Darren lived there. Yeah, Cedric, Viola, Michelle, and me. And we lived at the YMCA, and it was 4 years of, and we were in the same subgroup. There's A, B, C, and D. So you're literally with, you know, you get to know these people. But yeah. My favorite thing with Viola in particular was that, and we did the league, if we thought the other was good in something, we gave it up. And I love the fact that there was never any BS. If bad, you know, she had no problem sharing that with the class.
Well, that's like a true friendship. Also,
was honest with you, and then you gave it back to her. But if two co-stars in a play are telling each other how bad they are, you have one option: blame the writer or the director. Exactly. It's not you guys. I mean, you're two fantastic actors.
What do you do? You know, so yeah, the experience there was just, there was a lot of, I just thought I'd be a lot of people crying in the hallways and a lot of stuff. And I don't know that I would recommend a conservatory for people, you know?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like, how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Well, let's go. You go from Juilliard, and I'm just trying to go through the story that I'm seeing.
Sure.
After ABC After School specials were, everyone
I
loved them.
I didn't know you did an After School special.
No, he did a three-parter.
It was a three-parter, right?
This Juilliard graduate.
Yes.
And there's no shame in
that
it.
That was a problem for them. That happened during my second year, the summer. And they were upset that I was doing, that was my first job. It was 9 weeks of a television show directed by John Rubenstein, who was Pippin.
Pippin. The OG Pippin.
And Juilliard was fighting me on, you can't go off to do a television show.
Even in the summer, like you weren't going to miss school. See, that's nuts. I think they've changed that. They don't have a problem as long as you're not missing class.
If we can do a callback to an evening dinner theater, I had an agent because I did a play called Brighton Beach Memoirs now it's called Westchester. Now it's no longer existing, I think, but it was Elmsford Dinner Theater. And I was Eugene, and I got an agent. And that summer I auditioned for a three-part, after school special called Spinner. I'll hold for applause if you want to.
Yes, we have to applaud because when we talked about having you on too, it's like anybody that we can talk to about after school specials, we're obsessed with after school specials.
Yeah, that's our childhood.
What was the big lesson? What was the big story? What was the drama in this one?
There's a lot to unpack, and I am going to share it with you. And the only thing I hope is that you're both ready.
We're ready, right, okay. David?
No, I meant emotionally. The name of the piece was called The Mall.
Sure.
And it was all of the, of course it was.
Of course.
And it was all of the cliques at the mall that were just trying, it was the breakfast club at the mall. And so you had the druggies and the theater people and the wrestler and the this or that.
And this was before the Breakfast Club?
No, this was long.
This was way after.
Yeah,
okay.
Breakfast Club's 80s.
This was summer of 91, and it was 9 weeks, and it was that or I was going to work at Caldors. I got that gig, which was unbelievable. It was like a three parter, you know. You grew up. They don't do them anymore, right? No more after school. No more after school specials.
No.
I don't think so.
Okay, loved them, and I got to do that and work with John Rubenstein and get all the Broadway Pippin, you know, stories and amazing. The school didn't.
Which group were you in? Which clique were you in? At the mall.
You're probably thinking that I was the quarterback athlete stud. I wasn't. I was Spinner. I was a musician. And it was about me working up the courage to tell my family that, you know, I loved guitar and that turns out Mara Hobel, who was the girl in Mommy Dearest, was
yes.
lead in it. And it turned out that she wasn't just my best friend. I was in love with her.
Oh my God.
But no disrespect to her, she was in love with me too.
Oh, and, my God. So young teen love.
So, I mean, what was it about? My question to you is, what wasn't it about? I mean, I'm not going to let you be that reductive. This was the big time. This was
Sounds like 3 hours of riveting, dramatic, melodramatic entertainment.
I am in no way, shape, or form putting down The Godfather and putting down other movies, but they weren't this.
They were not the mall.
You know, and I haven't seen it. This is, again, this sounds so arrogant. Nothing has been the mall.
No, nothing has been the mall. Rubenstein knows it. That's all that matters.
And I've never said that out loud. And kudos to you guys for making this a safe enough space for me to say that. but nothing has been the mall. I miss my anonymity every day.
I took the world by storm.
Yeah.
How much soon after that was Spin City? Because I see your IMDb, which I just need to totally out you, that your daughter shared with us that you did think IMDb was a radio station.
Radio station.
So I'm just
WIMDb.
For all of our listeners, IMDb. What is it? The Internet Movie Database, right?
It's how you find everyone's...
So that's where we look up a lot of credits for our guests so we can be a little bit prepared for these interviews.
But Christine, you're passing over a very quick turn here.
Your first fight. Go on.
You go from these amazing The Mall melodramatic after school special.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a big one in there.
I see here The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio and Mark Wahlberg, which was a drug. You know, if anyone knows that movie, it's about a heroin addict. It's intense.
So wait, Leonardo DiCaprio was in that movie with the boat?
No, it's a different movie. You were not in that movie.
He's doing very well. Leo threw, yeah, he was, he had just done Gilbert Grape came out when he did Basketball Diaries. So what was that movie that he did with Robert De Niro at 15? This Boy's Life.
Gosh, the greatest, like, first breakthrough role ever.
I mean, yeah, that was just off the charts. And so Basketball Diaries, I think, was his third movie, because he was when he was shooting Basketball Diaries, I think he was 18, 19, and the awards nominations came out, the Academy Awards for Gilbert Grape. And so I remember thinking, when all of the girls, people went nuts for him, I was like, wow, they already know. I mean, as an actor, I saw This Boy's Life and I saw, you know, and Gilbert Grape, but those weren't like big blockbuster movies, right? At the time, critically huge.
Right.
But I don't think they weren't Marvel movies. I mean, it wasn't like, but oh my God. So when I met him, he was already, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. And that was my first, that was right out of Juilliard. I auditioned for this punk that they steal. I was the rich kid that played basketball. They stole my father's ring. And I, after the basketball game, go up to this, they're at a burger joint, and I knock on the window. "We're going to take it outside, fellas." Like, I'm challenging Marky Mark. Sorry, Mark. You know, I'm challenging you a fight. And I'm pretty sure Mark was not physically intimidated by me. I don't have verification, and I don't think it's appropriate to even seek it out. But I take my rich, we're the suburb kids, and I'm like, "We're going to, you know, outside." And then they had to put something on my face because Leo takes a basketball, and he goes, no, we're cool, and throws it in my face. And there were
That's great. I remember that.
Yeah, there were a lot.
I want to watch that one again. I want to see that again.
I will say this. My only concern about that is, if you watch that and you watch The Mall, I'm worried that you're never going to be able again to just see me as a regular guy.
That is true.
That's my only...
The sad thing is, getting The Mall might not be as easy to access. I don't know that we can get to see The Mall. The elusive...
Was that hurtful to hear? Sure. But is it?
No. I think Christine's going to be starstruck going forward, just hearing the story about the mall.
So there was The Mall. But David, I also want to hear things about you too. Like, I feel like I'm talking.
No,
this you're is our guest, man. But yeah,
you're our guest.
We follow you, whatever you want to know.
All right, but then I get a question. All right. Things happened fast. I was fortunate. I went to Juilliard, graduated. I got the Basketball Diaries. There was, here's a weird thing. My father-in-law, for people not listening, is for people listening, was who might not know, was Hal Prince. And Hal Prince, I guess it's fair to say, would be, I guess, you know, again, for people that have no frame of reference, would be the Steven Spielberg of Broadway, Company and Follies and Sweeney Todd. And he was
Phantom of the Opera.
Oh my gosh.
Fiddler on the Roof and Showboat. And I, you know, too many, I'm embarrassed to say something because I'm leaving out 40 years of
yes.
Company and Follies. Like,
legend.
He's a theater legend. And I auditioned in September, right after the summer that I graduated, for a woman named Donna DeSetta, to sing a song for her. For they were going to do a workshop that I just knew Hal Prince was doing. Cut to 9.5 months later, I get a phone call saying you're going to sing tomorrow for Hal Prince in his office. 9.5. Have any of you ever had an experience where you auditioned for something and then literally 9.5 months later, like I didn't sing. My first audition wasn't for Hal's one person, the piano player and Donna. There wasn't anybody else in the room. And I completely, bye-bye. I get a call then September, so whatever, 9, 10 months, it was April. Yeah. You're going to sing for Hal Prince tomorrow. And I said, wait a minute, for that.
Same thing?
Yeah, for that same thing that I auditioned in September, like it was crazy. And I mean, and so the next day I get on a train and I'm in New York City at Rockefeller Center to sing for Hal Prince. And I will say that whatever I can be accused of for psychological reasons, I'd be happy to share it, but it's a long story short. Like I don't get in a weird way. It is a little weird. Starstruck. I've never had that chip where I always see people as like, I get overwhelmed. If somebody's kind or something, or I get a sense of their substance, I get like a crush and I'm like, can we be friends? And like, I'm in love. Like, I'm not trying to say you don't affect me. I'm affected all the time by people. It's just, I can easily see whatever somebody's, what they do isn't who they are. I never cross like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're the greatest basketball player in the world. But oh, you were shitty to my kid. Like that doesn't.
Right, just a person. You
know, yeah.
I can marvel at somebody's talent, but I even then, if you know, the gifts that were given, we didn't choose to have. So if the definition of a gift is something you give to somebody else, that's not yours anyway. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but can you marvel at people's talent and be kind of like blown away?
I 1,000%, but I don't equate them with that. Like, do you guys know Jacob Collier? That he's like our Mozart. Like, anyway, long story short, I just saw him at Radio City Music Hall. He has a 4-octave range. He plays every musical instrument. He's clearly our Stravinsky, Mozart. Like, he's 20. You're going to hear of him. He's clearly, he says this. He doesn't like to be called the genie. You know, it's labeled, but let's just put it this way. You're witnessing something that is only to be marveled at.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I still don't equate that with him. I think he was given that gift. I don't equate that. What's very, seems to be very impressive with him is he seems like a very moving, lovely person. I know I don't see that person, but the answer is, can I marvel at somebody's talent at something? For sure.
Or the work that they've put in to develop the talent, right?
For
right.
Sure.
Right.
Like Sean Hayes. Did you guys see Sean Hayes in
yes.
his Broadway? I heard
yes.
the work he put into that was insane. Like, incredible.
Yeah, no. Oh, no, for sure. For sure. I don't want to, I really, for the record, no. What somebody does and that you can appreciate in just 1,000%. Oh, my God.
Would you?
All right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like, how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
No, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Christine was asking about Spin City, and we have to talk about Michael J. Fox because he's one of those performers that is so precise. I mean, he's one of the reasons I became an actor also.
Daryl O'Connor, right? I mean, you think of like the iconic, like, I think Mike's up there in terms of legend, you know, like Archie Bunker and
right.
Mike is out. Yeah, no, Mike.
Like a surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way he knew how to, in the most specific way, play to the camera, but also use the audience for his timing for, you know, for you going from theater to, you know, to doing a situation comedy, like, was that, had you done episodic stuff before Spin City or was that your first time?
Oh, that was my first, the sitcom was no in front of an audience. With Michael, he taught me a lot about, like, sitcom is its own interesting thing because if you did something quote unquote real, just deadpan, natural, real, that's not funny. If you do something over the top and sticky, that's not, sitcom is its own little weird thing where Michael talked about the middle. He called it the middle. So say, David, we're in a scene and I say something to you like, you know, when you hurt me, the only person you're hurting is me. All right. Like, let's say that's the line. Then the camera goes to you, and all we see as the audience is the camera. And, you know, in real life, you'd have a reaction. There would be something. But what Mike knew how to do, let's say Mike is the recipient of a brutal line where somebody just says something that lands. He knew that you just look right in the middle and think about what just happened and let the audience do all of the work. Very technical for the sitcom, which is you in a movie, you can't do that. In a play, you can't do that.
Interesting.
In the sitcom world with the multi-camera, if somebody says something funny, he knew that all you do is you look straight ahead and you absorb what just happened without looking at anybody.
And that's where the comedy lies.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so amazing. Brilliant.
Isn't that wild?
He's a master. Yeah. I mean, I think back to Family Ties.
Oh, man.
Some of his greatest moments were his reactions.
My name is Alex. Do you remember that Hour the R Town episode where he lost the best friend in the car? The famous. There was a famous 2-hour part where it was like a stage thing, Christine. Like,
oh, I don't remember.
It would go in black and white where the camera, there would be a spotlight. It was directed like a play. He would walk in and out, do a scene, and then address the therapist by saying, I remember that. And it was I'm getting the chills now talking about it. It was unbelievable what Mike did. Oh, I mean,
Yeah, Gary Goldberg.
Gary Goldberg. Oh, my God.
But yeah, some of his greatest moments were just him reacting to his liberal parents.
Yes.
Like, I don't even understand you. You know?
And I remember the lines, like, he would do things like this. Like, I always acted that. I would say to him, like, Mike knew when to drink the water, literally. Literally and figuratively. He'd go like this. He would say, Jen, you got to enjoy your childhood. You got to do it, kid. I know I did. Best 2 weeks of my life.
And then drink the water.
Oh my God.
As the button, right?
Sandy,
as
that was just for our audience to know, he was putting the hand up by his forehead again and again.
So
the Michael J. Fox isms.
And everything like, so many lines about something like, Dad, Republicans don't, my hands up my forehead, Dad, Republicans don't divorce. The dad says, Ronald Reagan was a Republican. My take is that's your line. I'll say Republicans don't divorce. You say Ronald Reagan was a Republican. Ready? Dad, Republicans don't divorce.
Ronald Reagan was a Republican.
He was a Democrat at the time.
The pause. In the middle, right there.
Sandy, was it daunting to start a show with this? Because he was a legend then. I mean, really, truly, like he was the biggest. He had been the biggest TV star, and then was also one of the biggest movie stars through the 80s. And then you come on the show. Like, how I love asking guests, like, did you feel like you were immediately all a sort of company together? Did you feel like it took time? Was it overwhelming? Was it scary? Was he intimidating? So I love hearing the sort of like human stories, because we talk all the time. I know, as a guest star going on that show, and I had to kiss him. We had a kiss.
You kissed Michael J. Fox?
Yes, we had a kiss. I was playing Heather Locklear's sister. She was on the show at the time, and I was playing her younger sister.
Oh, I can see that.
And I just remember we had this kiss, and it was so nerve-wracking, and it was like in front of the audience, and it was, but it was also, I knew every second it was Michael J. Fox that I was doing this with, and that it was one of the coolest things. I was so excited to just be, not the kiss, but just the whole job that I was getting to act with this legend. So how was it for you when the job started?
So Michael Boatman tells this story. So I was thinking, he was there, and it was in the trailer. I did something very specific to him to say, I need to demystify you a little bit.
Okay.
And I grabbed him.
Just seriously? Like just day one in the makeup trailer?
Yeah, in his trailer. I went into, I knocked
oh,
on the
boy.
I went into his trailer and I said, I'm going to need you to stand up. Do I say what I said?
I don't know if you say what you said.
I'm going to need you to stand up and spread them. I mean, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Well, you.
And then I touched him.
Patted him down.
I did.
It sounded like he didn't have a problem with it. Did it?
I, I think that he was in shock. I think that he, you know, as he said, he goes, he just shrugged and laughed, and he's like, really? And I said, yeah, I said, you know, everybody in the world knows you and stuff. I said, I kind of want to get to know you faster. You know, I was like, and so no, and I really want to be clear about this, so it doesn't sound like, oh my God, there's a huge difference between appreciation, gratitude, and just knowing I'm working with someone, forget Michael J. I'm working with someone who is as good at this as anybody.
Right. That's what I mean. The best of the best.
In that, nothing less every day. And that sounds good, but nothing less than thrilling. When people ask about the stuff about, but you were in the company of Michael J. Fox, very easy for me to separate.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just with someone who's really good. And I don't know if it's worth, do I answer honestly why that is? There is a reason, in case it sounds like, wait, what's your deal, dude? There is a reason for that. Can I share it?
Yes.
Really? I'll be honest. I'll go there. It's a weird, this is also a weird thing for me. David, I stopped acting for a really long time. And so my oldest has autism. And so it was about 20 years where I would, I don't know what you know or don't know, where I would work when people would ask me to, Bill Lawrence and Scrubs, but I had about a little over 19 years of no agents and managers and not, that's why I didn't know IMDb. That's why I've been out of show business for 2 decades. So all of this, again, is me kind of like, this is my, I went, at the time I was the only one in Spin City that didn't have a publicist. Christine, I'm really asking you in real time, like, can I get real for a minute?
Please get real. Yes.
Yeah, This is not the Tonight Show. This is a podcast.
To say that, frankly, my dad had very bad values. And I knew that as a kid, I have a very specific memory of him meeting someone famous. I don't want to bore you with the story, but to say that I think that it became a hypervigilant thing for me where it is very natural for me, but I think I made the active choice to quote unquote, not be impressed when I meet somebody who's, you know, I think it came from that place because I recognized how it made me so, how small it was to look at somebody for how they're viewed as opposed to who they are. And
you saw that in your father. That was what you lived.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that at a very early age that it isn't what you do, it's how many people see it. And that really affected and effectuated why I want to be clear about that because I sound blasé. Oh, I don't meet anybody. Nobody affects me. It's nothing like that. I all the time profoundly. It's just very early on, I kind of probably it's just natural to me where I don't have that, where I meet somebody and I can fall in love with them. As you know, I fell in love with you instantly, your family. I met Ben essentially for the first time yesterday and heard about him. You know, you get a vibe off of somebody. I think you kind of get somebody's essence very quickly. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Yes.
And I, you know, people destroy me all the time. I moved, but very easy for me to separate though. So that's why I was thinking, even when you said, would you do the podcast and stuff, like, of course I would. I'd love to do anything for you and help, but it's me figuring out again, as I'm kind of reentering acting again, you know, when people do self-promote or they do go on the Tonight Show and they do this, you know, my struggles, frankly, with that, based on where I came from, and it's an interesting, I don't mean to make this a therapy session, but it's an interesting thing about, it's an interesting thing to be, you know, whenever you're talking to people in real time, like we're all alive at this moment right now talking. And if it's not real, or at least something shared, where I want to hear about you guys and you want to hear about me, I don't know what we're doing, right? You know?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but let's say conversely, let's say you are someone that is really starstruck. If you're working with a huge celebrity, you know, you worked with Michael J. Fox for what, 5 seasons?
Four, 100 weeks, right? Yes.
Very quickly, that stardom goes away, and they're just a person. They're either your friend, they're kind, they're warm-hearted, whatever they are, that whole mystique goes away very quickly.
That I can speak to. I never did. I do not remember, other than Hal Prince, my father-in-law. I will say this: the door opened. He had the fame. He was.
That's what I wanted to get back to. Was he the one person?
Yes. Yes. Okay. He had his glasses on his forehead, and the door opened, and he was pacing, and his hands were behind his hip. That is the only memory I have of my heart racing. Oh my God! You're about to meet Hal Prince. I don't have a memory of having that before or since. Hal Prince messed me up.
Wow. And then became your father-in-law.
And then became my father-in-law.
That's crazy.
That when the door opened and the glasses were on the forehead and he was pacing and then it shut, I was like, you're about to meet Hal Prince. That absolutely was.
And when you went in the room, did you black out? Did you do your thing? Did you get the job?
Yeah, then I was me again. Then I was me again. When I walked into the room,
what was the show?
It was called The Petrified Prince. And Daisy is a beautiful singer and now a director. My wife, I saw her audition.
So that's how you two met.
That's how we met. Yeah. Yeah.
Bam.
I was the prince. She was the princess. Yes.
Amazing.
But David, can I ask you something? Just because, do you get what I'm saying about the difference between like absolute awe and appreciation and loving being there and gratitude and stuff? I really want to be clear about not trying to sound like, oh, whatever, the eye rolling thing. None of that am I saying in terms of getting to work with these people. Nothing less than thrilling and grateful every day.
Yeah, person is not identified by the work they've done. The message. I get that. It's like, who are you as a person? To me, it's like, what do people think of you? How have you treated people?
That's where the money is. And so in terms of that, that's when I became in awe of Mike. I saw the way he treated people.
Wow. So, yeah. Right.
You know, so I saw that. And
are you still friends to this day?
He is like a brother to me.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mark.
I'm Greg.
I'm Brendan.
And this is a trailer for a new podcast called Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey.
It's about screenwriting.
And a journey. The three of us play aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a hit Hollywood script to famous producer Dutch Huxley.
Well, I would say one of us is aspiring and the other two are sort of struggling.
Which one of us is aspiring?
Well, they're going to have to listen to the podcast.
But I don't know, and I made the podcast.
Well, I made the podcast, and I think you guys were along for the ride.
Each week, we bring in a script, we read it, and then we give each other notes.
And you'll also hear about our adventures navigating the Hollywood system.
The show features amazing guests like Tim Robinson, Lily Sullivan, Weird Al Yankovic, and Rob Hubel.
Like any great blockbuster, it's filled with heartbreak, adventure, suspense, and just a little tasteful nudity.
And some distasteful nudity.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, A Screenwriter's Journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Can I share a moment too? Because Sandy wrote a wonderful script. Won't say much more about it. But as you re-enter this next chapter of your career, Sandy wrote this wonderful script that we all got together and did a reading of. Your family, our friends, and Sandy invited three people to come and listen. The rest were actors at a table just reading. And one of them was Michael J. Fox, who came and listened and was incredible. He was funny. He made jokes. He talked to you immediately after. He talked to all of us. And to see that relationship was so incredibly moving, to see that he showed up for you in that, you know, this was like middle of the day on a Tuesday, and I mean, he told us some lovely things about you, and I'm not gonna, that's personal, but it was beautiful, beautiful brotherhood.
I will say this, it's funny, the story is like, I was the only one, once every season Mike and I would get into a very big fight. And that where the cast had to leave, and they were produced. And Michael Boatman said, "I thought you were going to get fired."
Did you try and pat him down?
Was this the same Juilliard kid?
Yeah, yeah. I want to say that kid. I look at that now with shame. That so much of that bravado and anger was, "I'll show you," and like so much of that was my way of, you know, I don't want to make this everything, but I recognize now that I left Spin City and show business when Lucy was diagnosed with autism and we started. But I have to say that even before that, I had a very complicated relationship with acting how much to reveal, whatever. So with Mike, the funny part is Mike's like a brother to me. And there was one blow up a season where I would say something that, as a matter of fact, there was one episode. Can I tell that there was one episode where it was Tuesday night, and I said something like, "So wait, can we just rehearse?" And Mike said, "This isn't rocket science. This isn't rocket science. Can you just go over there?" And I said, "Wait a minute, man." I said, "I'm sorry, Mike. I want to do something that can be better when we do it for an audience. My bad." And
silence.
Silence.
Everybody go home.
Everyone left. Michael Boatman said to me, he took me aside, he goes, "If you keep talking, you're going to get fired." And I knew I wasn't going to get fired.
Right.
And that's when we just like, you know, fuck around. We had one of those. Okay. So that was a Thursday night. Friday night is the show night. We have that was one of our episodes together where I was in every scene with them. That was one of like the most special things, but we didn't, Friday we did the show. That was Thursday night before tape night. Friday, we do the show. Saturday, Mike invited me before to see Lennox Lewis fight Evander Holyfield at Madison Square Garden. He already got me that ticket.
And you hadn't spoken, really?
We hadn't spoken. And now we're at Thursday night, and it's 2 days of hell. We're rehearsing. We're not looking at each other, but we're doing the scenes and everything. We don't talk. We do the show. Our scenes, it was special. It was one of the most special episodes for me. We kill it. We don't talk to each other. Saturday night, I'm like, I'm going to his apartment. I'm supposed to get picked up and we're going to take a car and we're going to the garden. And I was like, and Daisy was like, I don't think so. And I went, yeah. And I said, I'm going.
Oh my God.
Fuck him and everything about him. And even things I don't know about him, I would like them to be, you know, to fuck off. And I show up and I remember Tracy, his wife, by the door, you know, and I go up and I just remember her looking at me and shaking her head because, you know, she'd heard some things. And Mike comes out, he stands by the door and he just looks at me and I just like smile and wave and goes, let's go.
That's true friendship.
The craziest thing is, David, we didn't speak after that fight, that Thursday for the rest of the tape for the rehearsing, and Friday during the show, we didn't talk. Saturday, we had a great time.
That's like, sounds like brothers, you know, like families.
Totally.
You know, you're coming back.
He is my brother. I love him as much as I can love anybody. That's a different thing. That's a different, you know, when people say, oh, I work with so-and-so, I love them. I mean, no, I love them. That's my,
mm-hmm. No, it's love. It's true. Yeah. Love. I saw it. I witnessed it and it was a real privilege to see.
Oh,
and when you've got that kind of love and friendship.
Yeah. I'm really lucky and fortunate that, you know, my friends and my family, I recognize myself, and now it's just interesting trying to navigate getting back into acting and performing and putting it out there and even talking to you guys in this form. Like it's stuff that, you know, does certainly, I don't know. Does it come naturally to anybody?
I mean, did this feel tough for you, this podcast?
No, not at all. It's a matter of, well, you guys are great. It's a matter of not knowing what the requirements are, how to help you, what you guys are. It's just being open and not knowing what that is, right?
It's like being at dinner with someone.
Okay.
Isn't that natural? You know, same conversation. If you and Christine and I went to dinner,
right,
this would be the same conversation.
Same conversation. Sure. And yes.
So if that's the case, then I think Christine would tell you, like, there's just a lot I got a lot of catching up to do with the social media, the podcast.
But you don't even need to catch up. You can do your thing. And I don't think you have to. It's not like you have to be doing all of the social media. You don't have to do every podcast, but we're so happy you did ours.
I'm so thrilled you guys. it's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure for sure.
You completed a screenplay, which I'm excited to hear about. I'll have Christine share with me, but congrats on that.
And I do want to say, listen, I will go there. This is another story. Ella was here. I think I told you this. Ella was hanging out with Phoebe at the kitchen table, and Phoebe, she must have known something about the movie because she did say, who's playing mom? She said that to me. And so she must have, I have to assume she knew that there was something in there because otherwise, or she was just being funny about, oh, you're writing. But she said, who's playing mom? And Ella said, my mom.
It's so strange.
So cool.
And thank you for that reaction. Because that's what it felt like to me. I genuinely took that as I knew at that moment, and this was over a year ago, I was like, absolutely, Christine. If I could get Christine to be interested in this, this makes this so much easier for me to write. So then I wrote it for you. For real.
I know.
That's another thing. I'm saying is, like, I don't know that anybody has said, yeah, that's Sandy, nice guy. He's a little like, he says things just to be. No, I don't do that.
No, you don't.
And so I wrote it for you. And as everyone can, I'm going to talk and you're not cutting me off, Miss Christine. Christine was so compelling and moving. She was who she is. Smart, complicated, funny, angry, all of the stuff. And I figured out things to do and add. And as it was happening, I was aware that there's at least two other scenes that were missing and what to cut and get rid of that. And
stop. I can't.
All right. I have to stop.
I'm not surprised. That's amazing. This excites. This whole. Okay, this all excites me.
I was going to say. So what was thrilling for me? And David, nice try. I'm not going to cry. You're a very angry man for needing me to do so. It was just so moving. Christina's like I say, I've known for over a year. I probably have been Glenn Close to your Michael Douglas without you knowing about it where let's just say I've been thinking about you and just writing this thing and figuring out, would this work? Oh my God. Yeah. If we do this, that could be something. And God, did you just, I'm so appreciative, and I'm going to do what I can to keep this thing going, you know?
It was a very magical moment with shared friends and family as it should have been. And it was, we were all honored to be a part of it.
It was, you know, and I got to kind of meet Quinn, your son, who's the poet. I mean, how you describe it. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, shucks. All right. So anyway, we can't keep you here for, okay. I'd love to keep you here for another hour, but we have to let you go.
This was so awesome, dude. It was so nice to get to know you and hear your story.
I'm so sorry because I could stay and I do have so many, but I could cut it down, but I'd love to know things about you. So whether now or whatever, I feel like I monopolized you. I would love to hear.
Well, listen, I'm in New York quite a bit. So,
yes,
for sure.
We'll hang out when you come, David, for sure. You'll get to hear all of David's great stories. And there's Walter.
Hey, Walter, how you doing?
There's Walter. Walter's the number one in the household there.
Oh my God.
No questions.
I look forward to a day that somebody doesn't say, who's walking who?
That's a big dog.
You guys, thank you so much.
Thank
I
you,
love
Sandy.
You so much. Give everyone a hug. Give Daisy the biggest hug.
I guess.
Love you.
Love you.
Okay. Bye. What a guy, right?
Yeah, really. Amazing, smart, funny, humble, and a great story.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, he quit after all that success. He quit acting to take care of his daughter.
They started a school, a special school for Lucy and other children with similar needs. And he really. But it's interesting because, like I said, you look at his IMDb page. He worked consistently all through those years. It's just that he wasn't actively seeking work. He wasn't auditioning for jobs. It was really just friends and people that he knew who would say, hey, do you want to do an episode here? Do you want to do a part in this movie? So he's been around, but it's for him, he really is looking to start this sort of next chapter with this screenplay he wrote, which is a very sort of true story of his family, story of a friendship, and beautiful screenplay that he wrote that we all got to read, which was really cool. And Michael Fox came and sat and listened, and it was really a special. And that's why when our guest had to cancel, that we just finished that reading, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna ask Sandy, because we were talking all about Spin City through a lot of it, and it was after we saw Michael, and I just thought he would be a great guest. So he's probably somebody a lot of our guests didn't even know. I mean, maybe you'll recognize him if you look up Spin City, because that was a pretty big, terrific ensemble cast.
Yeah, he did 5 seasons smack in the middle of the 90s. So he's not only relevant for our podcast, but he's incredibly, funny and articulate. And just, it was so great to get to know him.
And I love meeting, I love also talking to, because we have so many, we've had really big, big celebrities and musicians on the show. And I do really love talking to the working actor, the one who you don't know his name, but maybe you've seen him or her in something like a million times. And they're always so good. And it's sort of talent driven. And you realize like he's not somebody who's he has a complicated relationship with acting based on his father and, you know, what that relationship was, a complicated relationship with recognition and celebrity and all of those things. But he's just good, and he's just a great storyteller. And I don't know, I'm fascinated by people who find their way into this business and the you know, we talk about it, the waves, riding those waves, right?
Right. And he wrote a role for you.
He did write a role for me.
Like, you were his muse.
I know.
I love
amazing.
That.
So everybody, thank you for listening.
Yes.
Come back next week. We got a good yes next week.
Yeah, we do. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe and give us 5 stars.
And please follow us on Instagram at HeyDudeTheNineties Called. See you next time.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sort. High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
I've been trying to write a promo for our podcast, Part-Time Genius, but even though we've done over 250 episodes, we don't really talk about murders or cults.
I mean, we did just cover the Illuminati of cheese, so I feel like that makes us pretty edgy. We also solve mysteries like how Chinese is your Chinese food and how do dollar stores make money? And then, of course, can you game a dog show?
So what you're saying is everyone should be listening.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love comedy, movies, and Hollywood satire, you're going to want to listen to a brand new podcast called Get It to Dutch.
In Get It to Dutch, we play 3 aspiring screenwriters on a quest to get a script to big-time Hollywood producer Dutch Huxley.
Each week on the podcast, we perform a movie script right before your ears.
It's like going to a movie with your eyes closed.
And we have amazing guest stars, including Tim Robinson, Rob Hubel, Lily Sullivan, Jamie Moyer, and Weird Al Yankovic.
Listen to Get It to Dutch, a screenwriter's journey on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.